some of it or part of it, he has all of it. Amen? In his hands. To set a foundation for the direction we're going this morning, open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, sharing his testimony with King Agrippa. Amen. Reading in verse number 16, Jesus speaking to Paul, said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." So it's kind of interesting. God delivered them from someone and sends them right back for them. To do what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When I was looking at this, I was looking at Paul's letter that he's writing to his student in Titus chapter 1, so that's where we're going to go this morning. When Paul is speaking to his student, just to remind each and every one of us, we're all students of the gospel. We're all studying to show ourselves approved, workmen that need not to be ashamed. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. Because Jesus said, we shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall set us free and make us free. We sang that, but there's one thing to sing it, and there's one thing to have understanding and revelation for it to become. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse number 1, he introduced himself, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of the God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And all the promises in him is yes and amen to the glory of God by us. Amen. According to the 2 Corinthians 1:20. But today I want to focus your attention on verse number 3. Where he says, but have in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The title of this morning's message is In the Process of Time. Amen. God has a time for everything. Today we're going to look at the communication, the commitment, and the commandment. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And Lord, I'm grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So Father, again, Lord, I pray that the words that proceed out of my mouth come from you and not from me. May the words that are spoken in this house today bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in this room. And when everything is said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're going to do in our hearts and lives today, and we'll never cease to return all the praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. First, we find the Apostle Paul in our text said that, but have in due times manifested his word through preaching. His word through preaching, amen? So I'm going to try to do a little bit of that today. Is that okay? I was reminded this morning, first, the communication. The Apostle Paul was writing to Philemon to receive back Onesimus, and as he's writing in this letter, he is kind of encouraging him and speaking the word of God over him. So as he's speaking in a positive fashion to Philemon, he's expecting Philemon to act out of the words that are being spoken into his life. It's kind of interesting. And he said to him in verse number 6, he said, that the communication of your faith may become effectual or become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen? He was reminding him of who he was in and who was in him. And it's kind of interesting because when I was praying this week, the Lord placed in my heart to start this Faith Builders, building each other's faith up one block at a time. And what he was speaking to my heart about is exactly that, that the communication of our faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. So what he was saying is when we come together and we share what the Lord has done in our lives and we share the word in which we stood on, it becomes a faith builder to someone else. Amen? We've overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen? So we're speaking forth our testimony, what God has done, and we're bringing glory and honor and praise. So when we gather together in this, I'm just doing a little commercial. I'm trying to keep from the bus ministry. I'm just doing a little commercial because when you come in and share your testimony in the scriptures that you stood on, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to build on whatever God does through you. Amen? And God's going to use you as a faith builder for others. Amen? You know what that's called? It's simply called body ministry. Amen? Now, let me ask something real quick. Who in here has God done something for? Okay. God's done something for everyone, right? Amen. It's hard to tell what might take place. Praise God. But let's get back to where we're going at today. Paul said that by the preaching. So look with me in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I probably use this scripture more than any other scripture, Romans 8:28. How many uses that scripture a lot? Anybody here use it a lot? Especially when your things aren't looking like they should look, when things aren't going right, when things seem to be upside down, and you really don't have an answer. Then I just have to say, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In other words, we're all called. God's called us on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. Amen? That God has a purpose in each and every one of our lives. But he says in verse 29, he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Amen? Amen? In other words, the Apostle Paul is preaching the word. As he says to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, he says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life in a more immortality to light through the gospel. And then the Apostle Paul says, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Amen? In other words, he's to communicate God's word. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. We'll start verse number 3. The word of God says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, the Bible, the word today says, in due time he manifested it through the preaching of the word. The word of God says our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? And if we're going to accomplish something in this atmosphere, and something's going to be accomplished in our hearts and our lives, and maybe in our physical, our bodies, our spiritual bodies, it comes by the word of God. It doesn't come by the word of man. It comes by the word of God. Even when Jesus was battling Satan, and Satan came against him, Jesus said, for it is written. Jesus spoke the word of God. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, whatever it may look like, no matter what it may look like, no matter what's in front of you, speak the word. I'll just show you an example. It's kind of a little example. This morning I came down here this morning and just get everything running for the church. And both of the units in the sanctuary, air conditioner units, wasn't working. And I went over and I kept messing with it. And this one wouldn't work, and I had the windows open to try to let some air in. And then I was over there praying, and the Lord said, take authority. And I said, okay. And I said, I bind the air conditioner demon. I bind that air conditioner demon in the name of Jesus. I bind him and call him loose from this place. It's kind of interesting because the air conditioner came right on and worked. Amen? Amen? Sometimes you look at these things and you don't realize that the power and authority you have in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, well, that's a mechanical thing. Well, God is God. God can do whatever he wants. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. Are you cold? You are? Oh, what? Hallelujah. Some are grateful for the air conditioner and say, man, they got a cold in this place. Why am I saying this? The Apostle Paul was saying, in due time, it manifested by the preaching of the word. In other words, when the word is spoken, things are manifested. Things take place in the atmosphere. Amen? Amen? He said, not only was it communicated, but he said, and which was committed unto me. You know, he said he had a commitment. It was committed unto him, but he had a responsibility, what was entrusted to him. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Remember that there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, We might get a little condemnation in the flesh, but not in the spirit. The word isn't going forth to condemn everybody. The word's going forth to encourage us, because I believe it's time. Amen? It's kind of interesting because, you know, in my prayer this week, and one of my, I'm in prayer all the time, but in my time with the Lord, I shared a little bit earlier today, but when I was spending time with the Lord, I was talking to him about the things I was waiting for him to do. Everybody been there? Oh, Lord, I'm waiting for you to do this, and I'm waiting for you to do that. And the Holy Spirit and the Father said, I'm waiting on you. He says, I've already given you everything. Amen? And then he started speaking to me about, you know, so many times we're looking for the signs and wonders and the miracles, but the signs and wonders and miracles follow them that believe. If we're winning people to Jesus, then signs and wonders and miracles will follow. Amen? So the Apostle Paul says, hey, he had a commitment in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9. We're talking about in due times was manifested by the preaching of the word and the word that was committed to him. He says in verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. You know, that's the seal. It's a sealed deal. Amen. Amen. In other words, you and I belong to him. And, you know, I posted this week, the Lord laid something in my heart, that if greater is he that's in you than he is in the world, then you're destined to greatness. Don't limit yourself and don't limit God. So many times we put him in a small box. Amen. To me, I believe his word says he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Amen. I don't know about you, but we serve a pretty big God. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul had this commitment. He was committed to do what he was called to do. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Rome in verse 25. He says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith. You know, the Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Amen. Praise God. So the Apostle Paul says to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. I want you to get a hold of something here. The word of God says in verse 4, but as we were allowed of God when we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. In other words, Apostle Paul says, God has trusted us with this. God has trusted us. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. The biggest lie of the adversary is when God calls you to speak the gospel and share the good news of the gospel, you're afraid that you're going to offend somebody. You know, we offend them more by not sharing God's love. If you saw your child playing out in the highway, would you do just say, oh, he'll be all right, let him learn a lesson? No, what would you do? You would go get him. And we're in a lost and dying world, and we have the answer. We have the answer. God gave us the answer. Amen. The answer for everything in this world, for every situation, for every circumstance, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. No matter what you're going through, the answer is Jesus. No matter what you're facing, the answer is Jesus. Amen. You know, whether it's financial, you know, even in financial, if you get into God's system, you walk in blessing. Amen. Sometimes we're looking for the blessing, but we're not in the system. God says, get in my plan. The Apostle Paul wanted us to understand and realize, and God wants us to realize, that we are to have abundant life on this earth. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to rejoice. I'm rejoicing now. I have joy unspeakable and the fullness of glory because of the one that's living in me. And that same one that's living in me is living in you. Amen. 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 God says, hey, he is the glory and he is the lifter of our heads. God didn't bring you in here to beat you up. He brought you in here to lift you up. The world beats you up. The standards of the world beat you up. But God is greater than anything that's in this world. God wants you to recognize who's in you. Amen. Praise God. So the Apostle Paul, there was the communication, he had the commitment. Then he said the commitment of the commandment of God our Savior. Now, when he said God our Savior, we know that, you know, that God is a spirit. The Spirit of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, all three are one. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. The Word became flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So he's speaking of God, our Savior. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. But he was given a commandment by Jesus. Remember on that road to Damascus, he was given a commandment. But that wasn't the only commandment he was given. Amen? And Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, Jesus said this. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all these things that I have commanded thee, and lo, I am with thee even to the end of the world. Amen. God gave us a commandment. He didn't make a suggestion. Hello? Wait a minute. How many children of God do we have here? You see hands? So what did Jesus say to us as his children? Mark 16:18, he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now listen to me. Everybody wants to lay hands on the sick and have them recover and not preach the gospel. Signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Well, Lord, I'm believing for my healing. No, that isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about believing in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Salvation is healing body, mind, soul, and spirit. In other words, when we're leading people to Jesus, God can't help to be part in the atmosphere. And then people are healed. People are set free. I don't know about you, but when the Lord came into my room and saved me, he delivered me. Amen. He healed me. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Man, we got some good news for a lost and dying world. Hallelujah. Amen. To me, that makes me happy. But they haven't all believed our report, according to Isaiah, he says. Yes. Then he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, faith for what? Faith to be healed. Faith to be delivered. Faith to run. Amen? There's faith that's joined with this. And so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Saving faith. Amen? How many are grateful that they're saved? Amen. How many know somebody that's not saved? How many know that you can be the one for them? God's just looking for voices. God's just looking for mouths in the world. You know, this week we're going back to Matthias on Thursday night, and we've been praying in West Virginia, and we've been having a prayer group back there for years. But Thursday night, the Lord led me. It's kind of interesting that the Lord set something up. They have the Matthias Carnival or Fair or whatever it is, but they have a parade that precedes it. And they have this big field where all the cars park and they wait for the parade to come. So this whole field is going to be filled with cars. So there are cars waiting, people waiting. And what they're going to be waiting for is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we have an opportunity. We have a captive audience that has nothing else to do but wait. Amen? And so we're looking for an opportunity to harvest souls. Amen? And you know why? You know what excites me about it is, as we've been praying, for the Lord said revival was going to spark. It was going to start when West Virginia was going to move out. And we've been praying back there for a few years and meeting every week in prayer. We've got a great, wonderful prayer group. God's done so many wonderful things. But things start happening when people start coming to Jesus, okay? And it's all about getting things prepared and ready, but people coming to Jesus. Her ear's still bothering her, isn't it? Ah, Lord, again, Father God. Lord, I bind that right now in the name of Jesus. I call it loose from her. In Jesus' name, touch her body, Father God. Touch her ear, inner ear, Father God, and make her whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Probably doesn't help with a loud preacher, too. Hallelujah. You know, I was reminded even in Revelations, when the angels spoke, you know, they all had loud voices. Right? It was a loud voice. Okay. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the commandment. Thank you, Jesus. So look with me in Colossians chapter 1. And I'll close with this. The Apostle Paul said this in verse 25. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. In closing today, what is the Father saying to you and I?